Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 40 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. Today is Wednesday, November 30th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Last night's regular meeting of the Sitka Assembly is not over. The Assembly went into recess at 11 p.m. as required by city code after finding itself without enough time to work through the agenda. The meeting will resume at 6 p.m. on Thursday. The agenda had 15 items, but most of last night's meeting centered on just one, how to spend money from a tax on cruise passengers. Faced with 15 different proposals on what to do with the money, the Assembly narrowed the list down to seven and decided to discuss each one individually. That took 2.5 hours. KCAW's Ed Rocco has more.
The city of Sitka has about $2.9 million in the bank from a statewide tax imposed on cruise ship passengers. That number is expected to be closer to $3.3 million by the end of the fiscal year. Getting the money into the bank is relatively easy compared to distributing it. Anyone can propose a project for the money, but it can only be spent on things that directly benefit the safety, transportation, or efficiency of cruise visitors. The Assembly approved just two of the 15 projects placed before it. The Sitka Convention and Visitors Bureau will get a maximum of $6,000 to staff an information desk for cruise passengers. The other proposal approved would use the tax money to subsidize shuttle service between downtown and a private cruise ship dock near the end of Halibut Point Road. Just how that will happen, or how much it will cost, has not been determined. The idea is to spend about $3 per passenger, but the exact funding mechanism will depend on the proposals the city receives for the work. Chris McGraw is with Halibut Point Marine Services, the company that owns the large dock. He submitted the proposal to subsidize shuttle service and says it will help attract vessels to the dock and hopefully bring more passengers to downtown businesses.
Merchants are feeling the pinch, tour operators are feeling the pinch, and the city sales tax revenues have dropped. This proposal has the opportunity to increase the number of passengers that spend money in Sitka with our current ships that come here. It's a proven fact that more passengers get off when they go to a dock.
Right now, ships anchor in Sitka Sound, and passengers are lightered to shore aboard boats. Fred Reeder, the Sitka representative for Cruise Line Agencies of Alaska, says about 20% of passengers stay aboard a ship at a port without a dock, but if they have the option of walking off the ship, only about 5% stay behind.
There are a lot of other benefits. One, a number of jobs it'll create just on the outside is probably about 20 jobs. That'll be, you got bus drivers and longshoremen, and you know, and I've gone through that with the Assembly before, but we would highly support this.
The measure also had the backing of the Chamber of Commerce, but some Assembly members were not so sure. Terry Blake voted against the plan after asking what ships using the private dock would pay in moorage fees. Mayor Cheryl Westover added on to that, expressing concern that the plan would take ships away from paying fees to the city for use of the lightering docks, although she ended up voting yes. With Blake dissenting, the proposal passed 6-1. The initial run of the project is for 2 years. Other projects up for consideration last night were not as successful. The Assembly postponed crosswalk enhancements to Lincoln Street, along with suggestions for creating a summer youth work crew and setting up recycling kiosks around town. Assembly members didn't even discuss the other ideas on the list, including a mural under O'Connell Bridge, a floating cruise ship moorage, or parking lot resurfacing for Fortress of the Bear. Pedestrian improvements for the intersection of Lake and Lincoln Streets went down to unanimous defeat, as did a proposal to build a public fishing pier and hatchery work float at the Sitka Sound Science Center. That plan called for the pier near the far side of Crescent Harbor's breakwater. Lisa Bush is the executive director of the Science Center.
And we think that it would create a saltwater fishing experience downtown that would be really special for tourists and children and residents. But we also feel that it would be an important safety improvement, because right now from my window at the Science Center, I see lots of tourists hobbling down the breakwater and children. And so I think it definitely fits into the safety category, and it's a pedestrian walkway, so as far as transportation goes.
The proposal also calls for a release of Chinook smolt from the Northern Southeast Aquaculture Association, or NSERA, which would ensure the fish returned to the Science Center in subsequent years. Steve Reifenstuhl is general manager of Ensera.
Tourists would use it. They use it now, and if you had a dock down to the water and there were Chinook salmon, they would go wild. They go wild in Juneau. They go wild when they come out via boat. When they just, they're not even fishing. This would allow them to fish. But just seeing the fish, they love it.
But Assemblymember Mike Reif says it doesn't sound to him like the proposal falls within the legal confines of how the money can be spent.
And the law talks about safety, efficiency, transportation. And being a charter captain, I can see tourists getting wild about fish. I see it when I bring them on my boat. But this money is not to provide a shoreside excursion. And what I hear being described sounds like a shoreside excursion. It's not really to transport them to your facility like the Seawalk is. It's to allow them to have a nice diversion.
Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett disagreed, saying if you look hard enough in the law, there's always a reason to say no.
You can eliminate everything that comes through if you want to on those three criteria. So I haven't been at the session that these guys went to, but I think this is going to go a long ways. And I think if the cruise ship industry really wants to come back and sue all the communities for these individual projects they're doing, I don't really see that as something that's going to happen. So I'm a little concerned about the criteria being so rigid that our hands are completely tied.
Hackett also had concerns about the process by which the projects are recommended. The proposals are solicited from the public. They're discussed in public. But then she says they're decided on by a committee whose meetings are not generally advertised. She also says the Assembly did not get enough information about why the committee made its decisions to recommend some projects and not others.
It doesn't help me to see recommend approval or recommend disapproval. And that, I think, is one of the problems with this process. And I think it's one of the problems that the public is having, that it is not transparent.
Frustration toward the process grew as the 2.5-hour discussion continued, although not necessarily about transparency. The conversation ate up so much time that when it was over, the Assembly rushed through as many agenda items as it could before the mandatory end of the meeting at 11 p.m. At one point, Mayor Cheryl Westover said that next year, the process will have its own special meeting. This meeting is set to continue at 6 p.m. Thursday, when the Assembly finishes off 5 more agenda items it could not complete during the regular time. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The Assembly still has a decision to make about cruise tax money, and it could be a big one. When the Assembly finishes its regular meeting agenda on Thursday evening, it will consider a plan to redo the parking lots around Centennial Hall and Crescent Harbor. The project already has more than $6 million in state grants behind it, says Sitka Public Works Director Michael Harmon. The city is asking for another $4 million in its legislative priorities this year. The design shown to the Assembly last night includes green space, one-way bus lanes, and other changes city officials say will keep pedestrians safer and put a better foot forward for those arriving at the Crescent Harbor lightering dock. We'll have more details on that tonight during Raven News at 5:19 p.m. The former director of Sitka Counseling and Prevention Services has filed a defamation lawsuit against an ex-employee. Gordon Blue filed the suit on November 22nd in Sitka Superior Court. It alleges that Jeremy Henthorne, who worked in accounts payable, wrote to the agency's board of directors and accused Blue of financial mismanagement. Blue says in his suit that the accusations are untrue and that Henthorne's letter led to Blue's resignation from SCAPS earlier this year, along with damage to his reputation. He's seeking unspecified damages. Blue is being represented by the Seattle law firm of Young DeNormandy. There was no attorney listed for Henthorne, and his phone number is unpublished. Is the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act a path to assimilation or a means of cultural survival? That's the question posed by Sea Alaska Heritage Institute President Rosita Worrell. She spoke this week as part of a Juno lecture series focusing on ANCSA, which has its 40th anniversary next month. Worrell, an anthropologist, is also vice chair of the Sea Alaska Regional Corporation's board.
Congress enacted ANCSA to promote assimilation, but ironically, it also enacted into law a traditional value of sharing through a form of what I call corporate socialism.
She says that involves more than dividends. Regional corporations share 70% of their logging and mining earnings. Many also offer special payments or extra shares to elders. Worrell says giving shareholders descendants stock and voting rights is a modern version of a traditional value. Arctic Slope, Doyon, Nana, and Sea Alaska Corporation shareholders have approved such measures.
In voting to give stock to natives born after 71, the individual shareholder is asked to choose between group rights of Native societies or individual rights of Western societies.
Worrell says ANCSA is not a finished work. While it is almost 40 years old, it has undergone a number of changes. She expects to see more. Worrell went through the history of efforts to resolve property and other disputes that led up to ANCSA. She says land transfers are one of the legislation's most important elements.
Congress really wanted to have clear title to Alaska because it was necessary for economic development. Native people, on the other hand, wanted ownership of their land, and they rejected the BIA control of their lands.
A link to a video of Worrell's complete speech is posted with this report on our website, kcaw.org. Links to other lectures from the five-part Native American Heritage Month series are also posted. Three orphaned brown bear cubs are about to leave the Alaska Zoo in Anchorage and head to their new home in Detroit. Alaska Zoo officials say the cubs will depart Thursday for the Detroit Zoo, so today is the last day people can see them in Anchorage. The Alaska Zoo has provided a temporary home for the cubs until a permanent home was found. The bears were roaming the Anchorage hillside area until they were brought in by the State Department of Fish and Game. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for cloudy skies, windy, slight chance of rain this morning. Highs around 43, south winds 10 miles per hour, increasing to 20 to 30 miles per hour, with gusts to around 40 miles per hour this afternoon. And tomorrow, rain heavy at times in the morning, highs around 44. This is Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.